The Outer Rim. The Final Frontier. These are the news stories of the Outer Rim. To explore strange new fandoms. To seek out new life and new science fiction. To boldly go where no fan has gone before.
Not good.
Blast!
Look, don't worry. Everything's gonna be fine. Trust me.
That's just great.
Now, discussing the news on the edge of fandom.
Set your hyperdrive motivator for full throttle.
Chewie, get us out of here!
We're headed to the Outer Rim.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of The Outer Rim. This is episode number 53. We're a man short this week, but I think you and I can carry this off, right, Eric?
I think so.
And actually, I think you're going to carry it away from me, so you've been taking over quite a bit lately, so, you know, get to let you do that again this week.
I'm sorry, I'm not trying to.
No, no, and you know what, I don't even have a rant this week.
What?
I don't. It's been a pretty good week.
Well, you know what? I have something very special for you then. We have a guest rant.
Oh, awesome.
We have a guest rant. Not only do we have a guest rant, I have a new favorite YouTube channel and a mentor.
This sounds good.
I plan to release a YouTube channel sometime in the future, and I doubt that I will achieve the greatness in ranting that this individual has, but I can dream.
Awesome.
But we'll get to the guest rant in a few minutes. This episode, and I apologize for this, the reason that I guess I'm kind of leading the show tonight instead of you is because there's been a lot of news over the last week. Everything ranging from politics to international business news, the stock exchange, religion, crime, even terrorism. And yet it's all related to one single topic, Pokemon Go.
Wow, I didn't realize it was that far-reaching.
Yes. Yes, it is. And I know that after me saying those two words, there are probably listeners who have already started to tune us out.
Turn us off, yeah.
Yes. But keep in mind, this is not so much about the game as much as it is about the goings-on surrounding the game. So this is relevant even to you who do not play the game. So I have played the game, and Lou, you've downloaded it at least.
I've downloaded it, yeah. I haven't actually played it, but...
Okay.
I was going to, because I wanted to see what all the fuss was about.
Yes, well, you should, because there is, in fact, quite a fuss. And so you should know what the fuss is about. Where to begin? So we're going to break down a lot of the news that's been going on. If you're not familiar with Pokemon Go, it is an app for smartphones, for iOS and Android. And the Pokemon franchise has been around for a long time. It started, I believe, in Japan. It came over here. There's been cartoon series, animated movies, card games. The idea is that, well, the catchphrase is you got to catch them all. So the idea is when you're playing the collectible card game, you represent a Pokemon trainer who goes out into the wild and hunts Pokemon, who are these strange looking creatures, a lot of them an amalgamation of two different real animals that we might encounter, and they kind of blend them in into some very creative looking little monster, often annoyingly obnoxiously cute. And so the idea is you collect these monsters and you trap them in these little, they call them Pokeballs, and then you train them for battle, and you take them to what's called a gym, a Pokemon gym, and you battle other trainers using your collected Pokemon. So that's the premise of the game. It was a big video game for the Nintendo Game Boy and then the DS and the 3DS and all that. And it's been around for years. It's made a ton of money. And now it is come to your smartphones as part of what's known as augmented reality. So what that means is if you look at your phone display as you have the camera on, you're seeing whatever the camera is seeing. Well, augmented reality is it overlays something in that picture based on where you are geographically, the way you've turned, your orientation, things like that. So what this does is you have a map and you have your character on this map. And when there's a Pokemon nearby, you can tap on it on your map. And then it will go into this augmented reality view where it's you looking around your living room or the sidewalk you're on. And this little Pokemon will pop up on the sidewalk. Well, if you turn to the left or the right, the Pokemon stays where it is on the sidewalk. So that's the augmented reality of it. So it makes it look like the Pokemon is actually really there. And you have a little Pokeball at the bottom of the screen, and you swipe to throw the Pokeball at the Pokemon, and there are various different things that determine whether or not you successfully capture the Pokemon, and that's about it. And then you can travel to locations in the real world that are set up as gyms and battle other Pokemon. And there are what are known as Pokestops, different locations, again, in the real world that you can travel to and replenish your items, such as the Pokeballs that you expend when you try to collect these creatures. So that's basically what Pokemon Go is. Any questions so far?
No, I think I'm following it. I mean,
okay.
Yep.
So a couple of people have picked up this game. By a couple of people, I mean my son, my wife. Every single one of my coworkers, literally every single one of them. It seems like just about everyone everywhere has picked up this game. I'm walking through the food court at the mall where I work, and a good solid 50% of the people that are sitting there eating at lunch are also playing Pokemon Go. People walking up and down the hallway in the mall, not so much shopping, they're hunting Pokemon. We had a group of 7 guys from the Navy base come in a couple of days ago, caught a Pokemon, turned around and left.
In your store?
In our store.
Okay.
Yep.
These are our hardworking men and women of the armed forces.
Hey, and you know, more power to them. Whatever, whatever form of entertainment. Well, I shouldn't say that. What, whatever form of appropriate entertainment they're interested in, and they want to, you know, play on their phone, go for it. But yeah, I mean, it just, let's go to our first. I have a few audio clips.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, I have 3. I had a 4th one, and I decided that it would branch off into probably yet another 45-minute long conversation that would also be very controversial, and so I'm just going to bring it up later in brief. But so here is a YouTube video that was shared out to through our Slack channel, and this is from someone who knows nothing about Pokemon, but was introduced to it as a result of people coming into where she works. Here we go.
So everyone is playing the Pokemon game, and they keep coming into my work to catch the Pokemons, okay?
I love her accent.
So I thought, because I didn't understand how it worked, if I downloaded the game, I could catch all the Pokemons in my work, and people would quit coming to catch them.
Brilliant.
But that's not how it works.
No.
So now I have a bunch of Pokemons, and there's people still coming in to get the Pokemons.
Yep.
So now I feel like a nerd because I'm like, oh, go back there, make a left, Zubat's over there, and Squirtle's in Lawn and Garden, by the way. But Lawn and Garden's not my area, so I can't go get it. That's where my life is right now.
Oh, it's classic.
Now I feel stupid. But I want to catch them, but I feel stupid.
I love it.
This is just not where I saw myself at 27 years old.
Is that what you asked your manager? Can I work at Lawn and Garden tomorrow so I can catch the Pokemon?
I gotta get it together. I have a problem. I just drove across the parking lot to get a rat looking some bitch, okay?
So, welcome to the dilemma that is now Pokemon Go.
Oh, that is awesome.
Yeah. Oh, if only we could all work in lawn and garden. So,
now let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. What's the rhyme or reason to where the Pokemon are, you know, inhabiting the world?
Ah, that is an excellent question. So,
no, I'm not going out of order here, Mike, because I haven't looked at the show notes here. I just want to make sure I'm not.
No, that's okay. And in fact, please ask questions, because otherwise I'm basically just running down the show notes, and I don't want this show to end up being a monologue. Pokemon is licensed to Nintendo, and the company who has made this app is called Niantic. I don't know if that has anything to do with the town of Niantic, just down the street from you and I, but who knows? And they had a game before called Ingress. And it was a similar sort of thing where different things in the game, like you could kind of like a capture the flag sort of thing, where you could take over different locations and battle other people based on, you know, character levels and stuff like that. And people could submit locations to the game. You know, I think I had later in the show notes here. Okay. So here are the criteria that would determine whether or not a location was eligible to be represented in Ingress. And keep in mind that the locations in Ingress have basically been directly ported over to Pokemon Go. All right, so it could be a location with a cool story, a place in history, or educational value. So, for example, museums. There's a fort up the street from us, Fort Griswold or something like that, where there was some, I don't know, Civil War, Revolutionary War, some kind of battle. I don't know. I'm not a history buff, but so that would qualify. A cool piece of art or unique architecture. So, the Sears Tower in Chicago or the Space Needle, things like that. A hidden gem or quote, hyper local spot. And what they mean by hyper local is a location for which if you're not a local resident, you probably wouldn't know about it. So kind of, you know, either a touristy trap sort of place or a place that the locals all know about that the tourists would have no idea. And other than that, just in general, social gathering places. So, for example, there are a lot of churches, libraries, your local YMCA might have a location. The aquarium in Mystic, Connecticut, they are a Pokestop, Old Mystic Village, things like that. So places where there's large gatherings of people, whether it be shopping malls or, places of worship or places of study, again, libraries, things like that. Those would all qualify. Now, let me explain what locations are in the Pokemon game. There are two different types of locations. One is a Pokestop.
Okay.
So if you go with
like a bus stop where you get the bus to go to Poketown.
Oh, I'm thinking of some bad 80s music parodies now. Won't you take me to Poketown?
Yeah. Oh, boy. That's where I was going with that. Yeah.
No, so it's, what it is it's a location where if you go there and you pull it up on your screen, you tap it on your map. If you're nearby enough, you spin this little marker and out shoots a bunch of Pokeballs that will let you collect more Pokemon or potions that will let you heal your Pokemon if they've been in battle, different things like that. So you can buy these things using microtransactions, which is how they're monetizing the game, or you can visit these Pokestops. And then the gyms, they're a little bit more rare. And what happens is there are three different teams, yellow, blue, and red. And the first time you go to a gym, you're going to be asked to select a team that you want to be on, which seems to be a permanent decision. And then you can battle whoever currently owns that gym. And if you can knock one of the other teams out of that gym, then your team can then claim that gym. And then you can leave your own Pokemon there to defend it. And if you drop off one of your Pokemon at that gym, they stay there until they are kicked out. And in the meantime, while they're staying there, you collect bonuses based on your Pokemon being part of that gym defense.
Okay.
So it's...
I don't go to the gym very often, though, so that's going to be tough for me.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's not half of it. One of the items you can get from the Pokestops are eggs.
And okay, I like eggs, yep.
Okay.
Hard-boiled, scrambled.
Yeah, well, these eggs hatch.
Oh.
Yeah, these are not edible.
That's good for cooking, yeah.
No. No, you're thinking the wrong... I don't know how a Pokemon egg would taste. Some of the animals I've seen come out of them, probably not very good.
Okay.
But what you do is you put one of these eggs into an incubator, and depending on the rarity of the egg, you have to walk to incubate the egg and get the egg to hatch. So the common eggs, you might have to walk 2 kilometers. The more rare eggs, you would have to walk 10 kilometers. So this is good. This gets people out and walking around. And a lot of the news on the internet is about people who never get out and walk, and now they're getting out and walking. Or parents saying, you know, my kid never leaves the house. He just sits there and plays video games all day long. And now he wants to take his little brother down to the park. And they want to go to the beach. This is
That's a good thing.
Strange.
Yeah.
Strange. I don't understand what's going on. There are people complaining about accidentally exercising. Yeah, it's crazy. So, I'll come back to the effect on the local community in a little bit. But so you may be wondering, if you're not too plugged into what's going on, why we're covering this in the news, why we're dedicating an entire episode of Outer Rim to Pokemon Go, not random chatter, which is where we normally have singular topic discussions. But Outer Rim, where we contain a multitude of different news items. Well, because there is a multitude of different types of news that are all related to Pokemon Go. And the reality is, this has basically taken over the internet. It's a very popular franchise. The game is free. There has been hype about the game for months and months and months.
Mm-hmm.
And augmented reality is something that's relatively new for mobile games. It's existed for a while, but nobody's really found a way to implement it into a game and also create interest in it. So anything that's come out has fizzled out really quickly.
Yeah, there's been stuff using it, but not games per se.
Right. And the games that have used it, just they can't get that hook. They can't bring people into it. And so this... You've got a popular franchise and it hooks them all in right away and it looks cool. And the technology, I mean, it's a gimmick, basically, this, this AR, as it's known, as opposed to VR being virtual reality, AR being augmented, where it just overlays over what you're already seeing. This is new to enough people that they seem fascinated with this technology. It's like, wow, it's like a video game in the real world. And I think that seems to be what's hooking people. So this is where things kind of start to get out of hand. So the successes so far. The game has brought in, now, and I don't know if this is just for Nintendo or overall, but it's brought in $14 million within its first, I believe this was within the first 48 hours. Might have been in the first 72 hours. In about the first
$14 million?
3 days, $14 million. We're talking opening box office weekend for a lot of the movies that have been released so far this year.
Yeah, and this is just microtransactions, right? I mean, like you're buying a Pokeball for how much? $1 or something?
Yeah. Or you can buy additional egg incubators so you could incubate eggs simultaneously. And the funny thing is, if you go to Pokestops enough, you don't really have to buy anything. So this is just like a small fraction of the people actually playing the game are paying anything. 14 million in microtransactions in the first 4 days.
Wow.
Now, to compare, Fallout Shelter, which is a big game and has been for a while now, was considered a massive success, and it brought in 5 million in its first 2 weeks.
Wow. First, that's a pretty good comparison.
2 weeks. Yeah. And here's the other thing. That was with a somewhat global release. This was only, it is just now today released in the UK and in Germany. This is being recorded Thursday, July 14th. It came out, I believe it was July 8th. It might have been the 7th here in the United States. So all of the statistics that we're giving you tonight, this is just for Australia, New Zealand, and the United States.
Huh.
That's it. This does not include Canada. This is, does not include anywhere in Europe.
Jeez.
And just those three countries, $14 million in 3 or 4 days, as opposed to something like Fallout Shelter, considered a massive success, $5 million in 2 weeks. Nintendo stock in the first 2 days went up 10%, and by its third day was up 25%. By which time,
oh my God.
By which time, the game had added 9 billion, billion with a B, $9 billion to Nintendo's market capitalization.
Oh my God. I had no idea.
Now, keep this in mind. Apple's earning three times as much on this as Nintendo is.
How's that?
Because for every dollar that's spent, Apple gets 30%. Because Apple takes a 30% cut off of any transaction that goes through their store. Now, okay. Obviously, on Android, that's not the case. 30% goes to Niantic, the development company. 30% goes to Pokemon, the actual franchise. And 10% of it goes to Nintendo.
Well, now, I thought Nintendo owned Pokemon outright. I thought that was their franchise.
I don't believe so. I think Nintendo has the exclusive licensing for the making of video games.
Okay.
So the card game, I think, doesn't have anything to do with Nintendo, and the cartoons don't have anything to do with Nintendo. So somebody owns Pokemon, but Nintendo is the exclusive distributor for Pokemon games. That's my understanding. I will admit I am not a Pokemon veteran at all. I picked up one of the more recent 3DS games just to kind of try it out because my son wanted to try it because he was enjoying the cartoon. I think it was Pokemon Sapphire, something like that. And, you know, it was fun. I didn't really get into it because I guess I got a little worried about making the wrong decisions with how I leveled up different creatures and stuff. I started reading too much into like the competitive Pokemon stuff and got overwhelmed with it. Mike Templeton from the Sabacc Table and the Retro Convo, big into Pokemon, like actual online Pokemon tournaments and stuff like that. I should have got him on the show for this.
Really? Yeah, he was on our show Tuesday night. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, he would be all over this stuff. But
I had no idea he was into that. Okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, big time. So again, for every dollar, Nintendo gets 10 cents. So I want to go back to the previous bullet point. Nintendo stock, Nintendo, who's only getting 10% cut, their stock went up 25% by its third day and $9 billion in their market capitalization just from the 10% that they're making off of this.
Wow.
Pokemon Go
is amazing.
Already has more active users than Snapchat, then WhatsApp, which is, globally popular as a texting alternative, as a messaging system. On its first day, it was already twice as popular as Tinder. It is already more popular than Twitter. And it has surpassed porn as a search term. When you beat porn on the internet, you've won.
Yeah, definitely.
You've won the game of internet.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. So my point is that this has been a modest success.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do we make an app like this and get some money?
Exactly.
Jesus.
Yeah. So some failures, though.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, so there's a dark side to this.
Well, depending on who you talk to. We're going to get to a big dark side later on. And by dark side, just wait for it.
Okay.
That's what we in the industry like to call a tease. We'll get to it. So failures after it's been 6 days now. And in the first day, when you log in to create an account, you can use your Google account or you can create a Pokemon trainer account. Now, the benefit of doing this is we assume that in the future, they will tie this in with the ability to link it to other Pokemon things. So, for example, there is a service where as you collect Pokemon, there's a Pokemon bank service that you can pay a small monthly fee for. And all of your different Nintendo Pokemon games, you can save your Pokemon to this bank and then pull them out into other Pokemon games. So it's like cloud storage for your Pokemon so that they can be cross release, cross game. So, the assumption a lot of people are making is that if you sign up for this Pokemon Trainer account, you will, at some point, they will somehow find a way to tie it into other Pokemon-related services. And that seems likely. I mean, that seems like a pretty feasible thing. The problem is, their servers were so slammed that you just could not create an account at all.
So it was kind of like trying to buy tickets to go see New York Comic Con.
Except I think fewer people got in. Yeah.
Okay.
Yesterday, last night, about 24 hours ago from right now, I finally got through to create an account. I've been using my Google account, and we'll get back to the problems with that in a moment. So I created a second account, one for this Pokemon Trainer system, because I'd heard that they had released two updates in the past 6 days. And both of the updates, among other things, included improvements to logging into the service. So I thought, okay, well, now I'm going to try it. After an hour and a half of refreshing while I'm doing other stuff, watching TV or something, I finally got in. And I created an account, and it sent me an email to verify my account. After an hour of me then clicking the verify account link in the email, it successfully verified my account. Even the clicking the verify account thing wasn't working. So 6 days later, I was finally able to get in. My wife, 4 hours later, she was able to get hers set up. There have been some complaints about the service. Even if you're using Google, the game will crash. Occasionally, you'll catch a Pokemon, and it'll go into the ball, and it will just sit. And you just got a Pokeball, and you're just staring at your ball.
I hate it when it happens.
I know, right? Oh, the jokes we could make in this episode. But there's no time. There's too much to cover.
Okay.
So,
So what are the problems with using a Google account? You mentioned there were some problems there.
Well, the Google account, when you sign up with, you know, Google, and you use your Google account for different things, just like if you use your Facebook account for different things, well, obviously you have to give it permission to do that because it's going to get your email address.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, so you have to give it permission for authorization for at least basic aspects of your Google account. Just basic stuff to play the game, like your email address and your name.
Okay, and the makes sense.
Ability to read your email and the ability to send email as you.
Wait, what?
To access, edit, and even delete Google Drive documents, to see your entire search history and your entire maps history, and to access any and all private photos and Google Photos and more.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Wow. Why would Pokemon need all that access to my Google account?
They don't. So. Oh, gosh, the internet blew up once this was discovered. But nobody could notice because it had kind of already blown up and was all Pokemon Go So,
oh my god,
yeah.
I'm really glad playing a game would give access to, you know, delete photos from my Google photo library. That seems necessary.
Hey, I still won't play Division just because of all of the patching and the nerfing and the. I mean, if I want to play Nerf games, I'll go down to Toys R Us and get a Nerf gun and run around outside in the yard with my son. But Division's a whole other thing. This is a privacy issue as opposed to a technical issue. Except Niantic says, you know what? This was an accident. We accidentally, like, I'm paraphrasing, but it sounds like basically they checked a select all box somewhere instead of just checking like the one thing they needed. So they very publicly and quickly said, no, this was an accident. You're right. We don't need access to this stuff. We don't want access to this stuff. We are immediately releasing an update that clears that up. And so they did. And within an hour of the update, Senator Al Franken from Minnesota issued a statement demanding clarification from Niantic on how user data is being used as a, quote, business asset under Niantic's privacy policy.
Okay.
So I don't know if he just didn't get word about the update or from what I'm hearing, even despite the update, the overall privacy policy indicates that they can collect user data on you and use it as a, quote, business asset. And he wants clarification. And to be fair, Niantic, my understanding is their privacy policy is pretty much like every other privacy policy for a smartphone game. But also, to be fair, for the privacy policy for all the other smartphone games, too, I'd kind of like clarification on how I'm going to be used as a business asset. So take it for what you will. We try to avoid politics here on the show. But when Senator Al Franken gets involved, you know,
it's serious.
It's serious. Irony, because he's the only comedian I know of in the Senate. But, you know, hey.
Oh, there's a lot of comedians in the Senate. Come on.
The only professional
don't
comedian.
Don't sell them
in the
short.
Senate? Yeah, the only professional one. It also has a little bit of a tendency to plow through your battery life.
Yeah, well, it's using what, GPS and it's using your camera and yeah.
Yep. And the display and also cellular data because it has to transmit data back up and down to the server. It is using basically everything your phone can possibly do.
All the time while it's deleting photos and editing documents.
Yeah. No, we got past that. They updated.
Oh,
they fixed
sorry.
It.
Yeah, sorry. I was living in the past.
Yep. Yeah. No, you got to keep up. That's no longer a thing as of, you know, a day or two.
I'm trying. Yeah.
I know. It's hard. It's difficult. But that's why we're here. We are going to help you out there sift through and get the important parts.
Now, are you going to help me catch Pokemon too, or?
I can.
No, okay.
You know, none of this overextended length episode actually includes any tips or tricks about the game. This is all actual news.
It's all one big rant.
Just about. Oh, you know, we should get to the rant. I have a new favorite celebrity on YouTube.
Okay.
His name is Francis.
Francis.
He's very upset about the server issues. So this went up a few days ago. And there's one or two parts where I had to bleep him out for dropping some F-bombs. So I apologize for that. Just, you know, a couple spots. I threw in a little bleep thing. So, but feel free to comment as we go along, Lou. And ladies and gentlemen, it is my distinct honor and pleasure to introduce to you Francis.
Hey, guys. What's up? It's me, Francis. And I'm making a little video here real quick because it's not what I want to do. I want to be making a video what I want to do.
I
want to go play Pokemon
guy.
Go. But the problem is the guys over there at Niantic, the guys over there at Nintendo, they f***ing don't have any servers. Why doesn't your servers work? Like, explain that to me.
Yeah.
With all of Nintendo's money in the world, with all of Niantic's money in the world, with $99 microtransactions in a f***ing game,
Why doesn't the server fucking work? Like, explain that.
Yeah.
Like, why is your server a hamster on a wheel trying to fucking connect me to the internet? Why is it a box that I threw away 6 years ago? Like, didn't you know if you were going to release a worldwide release of a game the entire world was going to play, that you would need a fucking server to run it on?
I didn't say his rent would
make
sense.
Like, even a CEO of Amazon tweeted out, hey, if you need any help with their servers, yeah, they fucking need help with their servers. Fuck me. Get fucking involved. Well, let me tell you what happened to me, okay?
Here we go. Listen.
You know how often I walk? Do you know how often I walk? Never. Okay, I walk to the kitchen and back. That's where I fucking walk.
Yep.
But today, my app alerts me there's a blast noise in the area. There's a blast noise in the area. I want to get a blast noise.
Well, who doesn't?
Okay?
Uh-huh.
So I actually went out my front door.
Yeah?
Oh, and it went from 3 steps to 2 steps. Oh,
good.
He's close.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so I walked down to the end of the block.
Yep.
There he is. Oh, my God. I throw my Pokeball. And the fucking thing freezes!
Oh!
The fucking thing freezes! I got that little white spinning Pokeball. It says our fucking server's not responding. I try to log back in. I can't get back in. I ended up sitting down on the fucking ground, waiting for that blast noise to come back up, waiting for the server to come back up. People are driving by. Sir, do you need help? Not unless you got a fucking server for Pokemon Go that you can fucking install for these fucking idiots! Because I want to get this f***ing Blastoise! God damn it!
It's like Sam Kinison meets Eric Cartman.
I never did catch him.
Yo, Frisbee, don't bitches. Hold back. Tell us how you really feel.
Yeah. Like I said, just one or two F-bombs I had to bleep out there.
Oh, that guy is great. I just did a search for him on Google. He looks like he'd be good.
Oh, he's awesome. And you got to watch, too, because he holds the camera as he does the video. And then he starts flailing around and shaking. And the whole, it's like he gets seasick watching him. It is incredible. And he has a whole YouTube channel. He got, let's see, he rage quit Disney Infinity. There's a video on that. He got banned from some game. He got, I guess, all pissed off at his Xbox, so he took his Xbox outside and started throwing it on the sidewalk in front of the neighbor's house. I got one more rant. This is him trying to get his... And for the life of me, like, I didn't catch the very first word or two of this video, and me and my coworker are watching this. We could not figure out who this female is that's actually taking the video. We're like, okay, it can't be his wife, because this guy... I mean, everybody's got a soulmate out there somewhere, except him.
Oh, God.
It's not happening.
No, Eric, don't encourage this guy's wrath, because you don't need that.
Oh, his wrath. Yeah, when his YouTube channel got hacked. Yeah, you should watch that video, too. Anyway, and I'm thinking, well, it's not his mom, either. Sounds way too young, and he wouldn't talk to his mom this way. At least I'd have to think so. We finally figured out after watching a couple of other videos that it's actually his sister who lives with it. Well, rather, he lives with his sister and his brother-in-law. Oh, you got to watch the video with the Mario Maker. The brother-in-law gets up out of bed
at out here.
4 o'clock in the morning, goes out in the living room where he's screaming at the TV because he's trying to beat this level in Super Mario Maker. Anyway. Okay, so here's the other rant from him. This is him. His sister walks out into the living room while he's shouting.
Hey, sis. Hey, sis, come in here.
Hold on, I'm grabbing my camera.
Why again with the camera?
It's for my protection, not your amusement.
Okay. All right, then I don't give you permission to put it on YouTube, okay?
Okay.
It's for your protection.
Okay.
Don't put it on YouTube, okay? I'm sick of that.
Okay.
Oh, listen, I need your help play this video game.
I don't play video games, you know that.
Oh, I don't play video games. I'm not asking you to download the app and play it. I'm not asking you to get an Xbox controller. I play this game, Pokemon Go. Have you seen this yet?
No, I'm an adult.
A lot of adults play Pokemon. I'm an adult. I play Pokemon,
okay?
I'm
an adult.
Well, I need help playing this game because you got to walk around. You got to move around to play this game. Right now in our neighbor's yard is a doo-doo-o.
Are you talking about their new puppy?
No, it's not a fucking puppy.
Puppy's name is Molly.
It's not a fucking puppy named Molly. It's a goddamn Pokemon named Doodoo. And I need you to capture it before he runs away. Okay, so take my phone. Just take my phone over there and throw the Pokeball at it.
Why can't you walk over there and do it yourself?
Okay, you know, number one, I'm not very good at walking. That's number two, you know they got a restraining order ever since I smashed that fucking Xbox out front. They have a goddamn fucking restraining order to take my phone before I run. God damn it! It ran away! It ran away! God damn! You owe me that Pokemon. You owe me that Pokemon.
Anything?
Yes, you do. Listen, we're gonna get in the car. Let's get in the car. We're gonna drive over to our neighbor, and we're gonna catch the Pokemon.
We're gonna drive next door, 20 feet.
Not just next door. Okay, all right. There's like, look over here, right over there is your Pokemon Center, right over there near the campus. I want to go. Can we please go and get go to the Pokemon Center? God damn it! Just get your keys.
I just got home from a 10-hour shift. Why should I do this for you? What are you going to do for me?
I'll buy you dinner, okay? I'll buy you dinner.
With what money?
Loan me $20 and I'll buy you dinner and I'll pay you back when my YouTube money comes in. Come on, just get your keys. Let's go.
It's like Eric Cartman jumped to life.
Stop. Right here.
That's I can't stop. We're on the highway.
I don't care. There's a rat-a-tat right there. Dude, you're costing me Pokemons. You're costing me fucking Pokemons.
You're not going to get us killed.
Stop the car. Stop the car.
What? Yeah.
There's a pony talk. Okay, and there's a Poke Center here, too. I need to get Pokeballs.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No, I need Pokeballs. I only got three.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is Francis.
Wow.
Yes. He is my new hero.
His channel, because that sounds hysterical.
I hope to be able to rant as well as he does. Hopefully mine would make more sense, though. I imagine that's probably what makes his so popular is that they just don't make any sense. Oh boy. So back to
that's impressive.
Yes, isn't it? Yes. Yeah, thank you to whoever put that in the Slack channel. I don't remember if it was Jared or who it was. I should have got that. I'll thank him on the next episode. But I'm a big fan of Francis now. Anyway, so back to Pokemon Go. So we talked about what establishes locations. Actual locations include strip clubs.
This is a kids game, right?
It is not marketed exclusively to kids. It's marketed to Pokemon fans. And keep
in
mind, people who...
to kids as well, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Son, that'd be a $20 cover. No, I just need to get the Pokemon.
Yeah. Oh, well, see, and there are other... I'm going to generalize some of these next few statements, because, like, the specifics that were on the news articles, like, I can't even describe the type of location they are for
okay.
fear of it going way past an R rating. For the episode.
Even just the name of the place or the title.
Not even just the title, but just describing the type of place, the nature of the place. Like saying, you know, it's not like I'm saying down at the local Shell station on the corner to get gas. It'd be like, I can't even say gas station. Like that level of, okay. So strip clubs.
Wow.
Sex shops. as in, adult lingerie and other accessories.
I thought sex was illegal.
Well, also...
If we're except Nevada.
Sex shops that aren't legal. Sex clubs.
There's clubs?
And again, the ones in particular are so much worse than just the fact that there are sex clubs that have Pokestops in them.
I love hearing you squirm trying to say this. This is awesome.
I'll tell you after the show's over, because it's like, oh my gosh, you've got to be kidding me that this would be. Let's see, what else do we have? Abortion memorials.
What?
Like memorials to kids who have been aborted or.
Wow.
You know,
meant like a memorial they started building and just stopped.
No, not like aborted memorials, abortion okay. memorials. There's a difference.
Okay.
No, the pro-life groups that have set up gravestones, mausoleums, a Hell's Angels clubhouse.
That's where I want to go. Excuse me,
Spike, I need to get in here for a second to get a Pokemon.
Yeah, can you just scoot over? Yeah, Tiny. Hey, can you just scoot over a little bit there, Tiny? As you're
walking around with your augmented reality phone in front of you, you walk into a bike which knocks over like 20 or 30 other bikes.
Yeah, that would be my luck. but there was a Squirtle. I was just trying to get the Squirtle.
I'll give you a Squirtle.
The 9/11 Memorial Pool. Because let me tell you, when you go to the 9/11 Memorial Pool, that is the reason to go. So you can catch little video game cartoony things.
Yeah.
Memorialize.
Pissing off people that are there for a nice somber moment and, you know, paying their respects. And all of a sudden kids are like, I got the Pokemon.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
The Holocaust Museum.
Oh, God.
To which the guy who runs the Holocaust Museum has now come out with public statements saying that he does not want kids on field trips. They're playing Pokemon Go. He wants their location to be removed from the database. It is not appropriate for people to be coming to this location that is supposed to be serving a social and educational function, running around catching fictional video game characters. There's a point to the Holocaust Museum. Yeah. Stores, shopping malls, apparently the home and garden department. Some people's homes by accident, which has been causing some issues.
If people show up at my house looking for Pokemon, I'm going to freak.
I'll come back to that one. So the NSPCC, a UK charity for child protection. And keep in mind, this is prior to today, prior to the release in the UK. The NSPCC has asked Niantic for security and reporting functions within the app. They're not saying shut the app down. They're not saying get rid of these locations. They're just saying, my understanding of what they're saying, this is from an article on Engadget. My understanding is they're just saying, listen, if you're going to have this in an app and there is an obvious appeal to children in this app, you need to find some way to embed in the app a way to report abuses or to report locations that should not be marked as Pokestops or should not be catering to children, etc.
Well, that makes sense. I mean,
it does. So I'm going to come back to the whole people hanging outside your house thing in a minute. Because of all of the pokey problems, there have been a few that have been a little bit more serious than the, for example, the guy who has people driving by outside his front lawn and sitting on the sidewalk outside because his house apparently is not only a pokey stop, but it is a pokey gym.
And oh, God.
So people are there constantly. So, we talked last week, or last episode, about a police station in Darwin, Australia, having to advise people not to come into the police station to load up on their Pokeballs and to look up when crossing the street. And so I made some comment about how I hope that, we don't get some news story somewhere about a kid crossing the street and getting hit by a car while they're playing Pokemon Go.
Right.
Yep. And I can say, fortunately, that that has not happened. At least it has not been reported.
I was getting nervous there for a minute that you were going to say that did happen.
No, but today, I believe this one was today, a guy in Auburn, New York, crashed his car into a tree while playing Pokemon Go.
While he was driving? Oh, my God.
A woman is now divorcing her husband because she saw pictures of the Pokemon he caught and realized that it was the bedroom of his ex-wife. Yep.
Oh, that's awesome.
Shayla Wiggins, a 19-year-old in Wyoming, and this, I think, was on the second day of the release, headed down to the local river to catch a water-type Pokemon, because you can catch different types of Pokemon in different different geographic locations based on, is it near water? Is it near sand? Is it in the woods? And things like that. So she went down to the local river to try to catch a water-type Pokemon, found a partially submerged dead body near the shore.
Oh. Does that qualify as a hyper-local whatever?
I guess so. Well, no, he wasn't a Pokestop.
You know, the locals knew, but you know, not really a tourist spot.
Yeah, now I don't know how many Pokeballs she had to throw at the body to capture the body. But I guess at some point she called the cops and they came and captured the body, so I guess she can't use it in the gym now. Missouri police have issued a statement that armed robbers have lured 9 different victims to Pokestops in the wee hours of the night.
Oh my God.
And when I say lures, I mean that literally in the game, at a Pokestop, you can use a power-up, basically, to turn a Pokestop into a lure to bring in more rare Pokemon. And you can see it from a distance, like on your map, if one of the Pokespots is basically it's sparkling, then you know to go to that spot because someone's put up a lure and other people, you know, can congregate there and catch rare Pokemon. So people are baiting this location to get people to come in and then robbing them at gunpoint, stealing their money, their phones, etc. All 4 people, ages 16 to 18, have been apprehended. At least all 4 people in that incident. Yesterday in California, a man was stabbed by a group of people in a California park. I read an article that was reprinted on Kotaku.com, which is part of the Gawker network. I read Life Hacker a lot, and sometimes they post links to Kotaku, which is their video game site. And I read an article there by an author, Omari Ako. I'm not sure how to pronounce the last name. I never am. But he wrote this really interesting article about him learning to play Pokemon Go. And he's like, I'm going to go walk around my neighborhood and see what I can catch. And so he goes out and, he's walking up and down the street, walks past this lady who kind of looks at him suspiciously and, walks past the same spot 3 or 4 times trying to, because the Pokestops, once you activate them, they'll time out for about 10 minutes and then you can activate them again. He came to a realization while coming out walking around and decided to go home and write this blog article in which he pointed out, I'm a black man walking around carrying a phone, aiming a camera at people's houses, walking past the same houses 3 or 4 times after dark in some cases. I'm just begging to get the police come and confront me and question me. And I hate to say it, but, given the recent events of the past week, statistically speaking, in the numbers actually prove this, regardless of what your opinion is on it, the fact that I'm black means statistically I'm more likely to be shot or tasered or whatever the case may be, all because of a video game.
That's nuts.
So, that's a little sobering. There's another one here. This is from imore.com, which is a great iOS website. I'm going to read the quote here. I'm going to censor out some of the bad language. This is actually reposted from a Reddit thread. Couldn't sleep, so I downloaded the game and took a 3 a.m. walk. There's a little park a few blocks from me that had like 3 Pokestops and a gym, so I wandered over there to see what the game could offer. Picked up an Eevee outside my house and a couple of trash pokes on the way to the park. Trash pokes as in cheap, low-level Pokemon that aren't really all that useful. So I get there and wander around a little, checking out the stops and rustling around in the tall grass, then decide to go a few blocks away to see a couple more stops. When I hear from the darkness a, "Yo, my man!" Turning, I see 2 sketchy-looking dudes sitting on a bench in the dark. I must have walked right past them without noticing them. Great. One of them waves. "My man, check it over by the blue truck over there. We got an Onyx earlier." So I wander over by the blue truck, and sure enough, there's a freaking Onyx there. Awesome. So I end up chatting with the guys for a bit, told them where I got my Eevee. They convinced me to join the red team when I hit level 5 so we could, quote, lock crap down in the neighborhood. Again, paraphrasing for language. Then the cops show up. Yeah, so it turns out 2 20-something black dudes and a 40-year-old white guy chilling in the park at 3 a.m. looks strange. It took a bit of talking to convince the cop we weren't doing a drug deal, and a bit longer to explain the game. Then the cop downloaded the freaking game on his phone and asked us how to get started.
Oh, man.
So while this story had a good ending, it demonstrates that, like, the nature of this game gets you to do things that prior to July 8th, 2016 would easily be classified as suspicious behavior, would scream suspicious behavior to the police, to local residents, etc. Oh,
definitely.
Yeah. So keep that in mind. Moving on, though, to other pokey problems. Two men just today, and this, I had a coworker text me this, probably about the time you were walking in the door, Lou. We started about, 30 minutes late? She texted me this, it looks like 9:28 p.m. today. She said that, she sent me an article. Two men just today climbed through a fence in California hunting Pokemon. Fell down an ocean bluff cliff. One fell 50 feet down the side of the bluff. The other one fell 90 feet all the way down to the beach.
Wow.
Yeah. Both men survived. Miraculously.
Look up from your phone, people.
Yeah. I mean, 90 feet. I don't want to fall 90 feet on a pile of padded gym mats.
I don't want to feel, let alone, I don't want to fall 9 feet.
Rocky beach. Well, yeah, there's that too.
Wow.
Yeah. Some good news. That's, I guess it's a pokey problem for the guy that they got, but two Marines helped helped the police catch an attempted murder suspect in California. The quote from one of these guys, we see the gentleman go and there's a guy walking around and I guess he was approaching women and children. And this guy saw him. We see the gentleman go approach them again. At this point, me and my roommate start walking across the street. And the gentleman actually walks up and touches one of the children, one of the boys, his toe, and then starts walking his way up to the knee. At this point, I'm running across the street, and a gentleman who was walking down the street does the same thing. And I guess they confronted the guy. They got the police involved. The guy was arrested for child annoyance, which I guess is a thing. Regardless, I'm glad they arrested him for something. But then after that, it was discovered that he had a warrant for his arrest for attempted murder. The Marine noticed this going on because he was playing Pokemon Go and the app crashed.
So he had to look around.
So he had to look around. Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah. There's a bank employee, who worked at apparently a pretty big bank, and they're allowed to have their cell phones at work, but they're not allowed to use their cameras. Well, he discovered there was a Zubat nearby, and I guess this is on day 2, and he didn't realize that Zubats are everywhere. But anyway, he was excited about it. He didn't have one yet, and he decided, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and try to catch this thing. So he walked out into, outside of his desk area into another part of the bank. One of the security guys there saw him doing this and said, is that your camera I see on your iPhone screen? You got to be kidding me. No. Give me this phone. Confiscates the phone, packages it up to send away to their overseas headquarters for analysis to see what private information he's collected from bank customers. The guy is sitting there just about in tears in the HR office, on the verge of getting fired, trying frantically to explain to them what Pokemon Go is. Because this is on like day 1 or day 2, like before anybody had heard of this thing.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. And I guess he got it all worked out, but One of our stores at Simply Mac has a sign up for employees that if they get caught playing Pokemon Go at work, they'll be terminated. So there's that. And the police here in Groton, I'll come back to that later on, too. At the end of this episode, I'm going to talk about my own personal experience in the local area here.
Okay.
But there are other pokey problems, too. And apparently one of these problems is that walking is hard.
Well, we heard Francis say that.
Yeah, that's very true.
I mean, yeah, so it's hard.
He said he's not very good at it. So, apparently, even though we still can't manage to cure cancer, we can darn sure find ways of cheating at video games within 24 hours of their release.
Okay, good, good. I'm glad that's happening.
So, here are some of the innovative ways that people have discovered to walk their Poke eggs. You can put them on a record player. Because the motion sensor confuses the game to think that you're walking around. You can take your bicycle, flip it upside down so it's resting on the handlebars in the seat so the tires are up in the air, put it in the spokes of your rear tire, and then spin the pedal around and around. Apparently, you can attach it to the blades of your ceiling fan. That apparently works really well. You can put it on your drone and fly it around your neighborhood. Now, I don't care how much you like the game. If you're willing to go out and buy an $800 drone to incubate your pokey eggs, I think you got a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. You can put it on your dog. Apparently, that's what some people have done. They've put it on the back of their dog, let the dog go run around in the backyard, or I guess play fetch. Unbelievable. One thing that people have tried that does not work, and when I say that people have tried this, I mean more people have tried this than the entire selection of everything I just listed combined.
Okay.
Because it has been going around on Facebook that this is a great way to level up your Pokemon. And apparently thousands of people have tried this. Putting it in your microwave.
What?
Setting the setting to low or defrost and having it turn around on the little turntable thing on your microwave. Not a good idea. It is not. It is not a good way to hatch your pokey eggs.
Might hatch your phone.
Might hatch your house on fire. Yeah. I've seen what metal in a microwave can do before. I do not want to see what a lithium ion battery in a microwave will do.
Ooh, that's a good point. Yeah. They explode.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we have special safety containers for them at work. If they just get like nicked during a repair and slightly punctured. Do not want to see what happens. Actually, I desperately want to see what happens to them in a microwave, but I want to see it on a YouTube video, not in person. And by that, I'm not requesting people make a YouTube video.
Yeah.
Don't want to go to jail for that one. Yeah. But if you're going to try to find a creative way to hatch your eggs without actually getting up off of your butt and doing what is not even really exercise. It is a basic tenet of human life. It is a requirement. It's not exercise. It is required for human life. If you're not willing to even do that, then at least don't put it in the microwave to take advantage of your laziness.
But basically, people are spending a lot of energy just to figure out how to get around expending energy.
Right. It doesn't make sense. Anyway. In other news, entrepreneurs are driving people around town to Pokestops, much in the same way that Uber drivers are taking people around.
Okay, pretty cool.
Yeah. So
somebody's thinking.
I've got a few examples. If anybody are in some of these major cities, if you're in Portland, Oregon, there's someone offering $30 per person for 2 hours of driving to Pokestops and gym trainers. And that's actually a pretty good price compared to the rest of the list. What's nice about this guy, he includes snacks and beverages. So, bonus.
Hey, that's a good thing. I mean, that's somebody's thinking.
Yep. He will take you run on your own route, or he has predetermined routes that you can go to.
It's like a safari.
Basically, it is. It really is. It's like a paid safari. He is, what do you call the guys like in Nepal who take you up and down the mountains?
Oh, a Sherpa.
Sherpa. He's like your Sherpa. Pokey Sherpas. That's what we should title the episode, Pokey Sherpas. New York. New York City, open to all routes, includes Wi-Fi. Didn't list a price, though. Sorry about that. But in Baltimore, $25 per person for an hour, and they will do your choice of routes. Houston, $30 an hour, but it includes Wi-Fi and discounts for members of the Blue Team. So,
ooh,
yeah, there you go. Vancouver, where it's not even officially out yet, $30 for the first hour, $20 for subsequent hours. So, there you go. If you live in one of those places or several more, you may want to hop on Craigslist and basically chauffeur yourself around your town and hit all the spots, see the sights.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a guided tour.
Yep. Not a bad deal, except it's a bad deal. But, you know, hey, whatever. Who am I to judge?
Whatever makes you happy.
Here's a better deal.
Okay.
The PokeGo Plus is being released soon. This is an official piece of merchandise.
Okay.
Yes. This is a watch-like item, very toy-looking. But it's a watch-like item, I believe, probably via Bluetooth, and it connects to your phone somehow. It'll retail for $35, and when you get near a Pokemon, it will vibrate. Now, you don't have to pull your phone out and tap on the Pokemon to catch it and fling the ball and hope you have good aim, because, you know, aim counts. All you have to do when your watch vibrates, or your PokeGo Plus, you push the button on the top to catch it, and there's a light that will indicate whether it was successful. It will either be red for a miss and green for a catch. And there you go. That's all you have to do. And then later you can actually check your Pokédex, as they call it, to see, you know, what
your Pokey what?
Your Pokédex, in the index of Pokemon.
Oh, okay. Yes. I wasn't sure what you said there. I thought maybe it was
No.
So again, why isn't this an Apple Watch app?
That's what I want to know. Well, I guess because they can charge $35 a piece for it. It's not out yet, though, which means they're already actively selling on eBay for well over $100. So, there you go.
Okay.
If you're that desperate.
That is just so bizarre. I had no idea how far-reaching this was.
Okay. Well, let me continue. A movie is now in the works.
Oh, of course there is.
And we're done.
A movie is in the works.
Movie's in the works. So, there you go. Locations are about to be able to be sponsored Pokestops. So, for example, our mall is so pathetic that there's not a single Pokestop anywhere near the mall. Not in the mall.
Really?
Not in the parking lot. Not anywhere near our mall. No gym, no nothing. Because our mall is pathetic. So if we wanted to set up a Pokestop in our mall, in the future we will be able to do so. And we can have whatever we want as the name. And we will have to pay per customer that comes in and uses the Pokestop. Which seems a little outlandish, but then for some places that might be a really good deal.
Yeah, you might draw people in. Hey, come in, spend some money while you're here.
Right.
I can. That to me makes the most sense of everything you've talked about tonight.
Well, see, here's the way I look at it. We're not an Apple store, but we are an Apple authorized reseller. We are an Apple partner, and we sell basically just Apple products and accessories. So you come into our store. and you do the Pokestop, and you, oh, hey, yeah, you're doing the Pokemon. Hey, oh, what'd you get? Oh, dude, that's awesome. You know, hey, I know this goes through your battery like crazy, but if you want, we've got lightning cables right over here and battery packs.
Uh-huh. See? There you go.
Oh, you're not on an iPhone. Okay, yeah, Android. That's okay. We've got micro USB cables and the same battery packs. We have R2-D2 battery packs. We have lightsaber battery packs. What more could you want?
You have me an R2-D2.
I know, right? So, I don't know. There you go.
Well, that definitely is, like I said, the most logical thing you talked about tonight, because that makes sense of companies doing that.
I have something that's even more logical and makes even more sense.
Ooh, okay.
We talked earlier about the dark side.
Yeah.
And I told you that we would get to something later on. And I was going to play the actual radio clip. And I thought, no, I shan't. Because it's too dark.
Wow.
But it makes perfect sense. I'm going to explain it to you here. I'm going to paraphrase this. This comes courtesy from Gizmodo. I don't really know how best to explain this, because it's very serious in nature. So I'm going to jump right in. It's been discovered that these Pokemon creatures, they are basically virtual cyber demons.
Uh-oh.
Or digital demons. And apparently, they are being spawned in churches around the country.
Well, you always got to watch out for the double D.
Yeah. And so, these cyber demons are being found all over the country in churches. Not just on church property, but even in churches. And they are, I mean, this is an attack by the evil one.
Mm.
The enemy, Satan, is targeting churches with virtual digital cyber demons. That is an exact quote. I believe, the quote continues, I believe this is a magnet for demonic powers. They're spawning demons inside your church. They're targeting your church with demonic activity. This technology will be used by the enemies of the cross to target, locate, and execute Christians. What if this technology is transferred to the Islamic jihadists? And the Islamic jihadists have an app that shows them where Christians are located geographically. they do. It's called Google Maps. But in case Google Maps ever goes down, the jihadists can apparently use Pokemon Go.
Digital demons.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, God, that's hysterical.
This guy was, like, straight up serious. I listened to this. Because apparently they freaked out. They called the police because there was a 40-year-old man walking around near the church property with his camera out. And trying to catch these cyber demons. And so I'm thinking, and later in this radio report, this guy goes on to say, you know, some people out there think, well, this is just make-believe. But I tell you what, that 40-year-old man sure didn't. Oh my gosh, come on. First of all, okay, so here's the thing. I know this guy's not going to go see Ghostbusters, and I haven't seen the new one that's coming out this weekend, tomorrow yet, but I did see the Ghostbusters from 1984, and what I'm thinking is, if there are cyber demons spawning in your church, don't you want someone to go and catch them and put them in little balls where they can't hurt anybody? Isn't this a good thing? And if they keep respawning, don't you want people to keep coming back and catching the demons and getting them out of your church?
Yes. Yes, you do.
Isn't this benefiting you?
Oh,
and the atheists are making jokes about, oh, well, this Pokemon's Go's getting people to go to church. Making jokes about it. This is your soul. You're making jokes about people. You know what? Listen, if it gets people into church, then why don't you greet them? And I want to be clear. I'm not making fun of religion. I'm not making fun of Christianity. Okay, I was raised in a Christian home. I won't get into my own personal spiritual beliefs here on the podcast, because I don't think it's the place for it. But listen, speaking objectively, create these people.
Right. I mean, somebody talked about, you know, retail. It's the same concept.
Yes. If you want them to share your faith and your spiritual beliefs, you want to set a good example to them. You don't want to battle them. Fear-mongering doesn't get anybody anywhere. Show them, as this person would probably put it, the love of Christ. Show them God's love and the acceptance and forgiveness and greet them with open arms and, you know, talk to them about, oh, yeah, no, that... Wow, that's, you know, it's amazing how far technology's come, and yet there are still things in the world that have always been there. And it's great that this is getting people out from under the man-made roofs and ceilings of our houses and out into God's open sky and the woods and the grass and the fields. And this is great. You can commune with God in nature again. There's all kinds of different ways that someone in a church could use Pokemon Go as a way to connect with the people who are coming to the church purely for the Pokemon Go. And it's not that you got to preach to them, but just connect as a community neighbor. This is an opportunity for you people. But instead, no, oh, cyber demons and ISIS, and they're going to, you know, jihadists targeting Christian centers to execute Christians. Come on. Yeah, so there's the terrorist angle for our show. Wow.
I never thought it would come to that, but...
I never thought so either. But Lou, I hope now, at this point in our episode, you understand just how serious
I have a very good understanding of what's going on out there with this, and I had some good chuckles tonight. This is awesome.
This has been an awakening, a Pokey enlightenment. Has it not?
It has.
Yes. You had no idea going into this episode.
There has been an awakening, yes.
Yes. Wow. So
now tomorrow I'm going on a trip to Massachusetts. I should probably load up my Pokemon app so I could find all the Massachusetts Pokemon.
Yes. Yes, you should. Now, okay, so I'm going to give you, I said there wouldn't be any tips or tricks. There's one tip.
Okay.
And this is confirmed. Some people are like, that's just a, you know, it's a hack. It doesn't work. Or, you know, it's a one of these go microwave your iPhone things that's going on Facebook.
I'm not doing that.
Yeah. No, this is legitimate. I tested this last night. It does work. So when you play the game, you have this tutor and he instructs you to catch your first Pokemon. And it's one of three Pokemon. Traditionally, in each of the Pokemon games, you get a starter Pokemon. And it is either, I guess, an earth type, a fire type, or a water type.
Okay.
So if you ignore those three and do not attempt to catch a Pokemon and instead just go walk, and you're going to get a message, catch one of the freaking Pokemon already. Not worded exactly like that, but keep walking. And somewhere between 5 or 10 minutes, a fourth one will appear, and it's Pikachu.
Oh.
Which is kind of
I've heard of him, yes.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. See? The poster boy for Pokemon, who does lightning attacks. So you can start with a Pikachu. Now, he's slow level and all that. I mean, it's almost more for bragging rights than it is anything else effectively in the game. But do that. If you're just starting out, and get yourself a Pikachu, because most of the people around you did not know about this hack in time and have started with something else. And they will all be very impressed that you have a Pikachu and they don't.
Nice.
Yeah. Now, before we go, my wife, I said before, I live in a spot near the water in Connecticut where some kind of battle took place. I don't know, Civil War, Battle Royale, Super Smash Brothers Brawl. I don't know. There's a big field and some monuments and like all kinds of historic stuff that I have no idea what it is. So there are Pokestops like every 5 feet, it seems like. And it's interesting because as people drive through Groton now down by the water, you'll see people slow down inexplicably. First of all, the speed limit is 25 and people do 35 up until July 9th. Now, people do 20 and a 25 and sometimes 15. You see them slow down for a few seconds and then speed up again. And they'll slow down for a few seconds again and speed up again. You don't even need your map out to know where the Pokestops are. You just watch the traffic. Because driving and Pokemoning is obviously a smart thing to do.
Of course, yeah.
Yes. And the one person out there who doesn't understand sarcasm is going to sue me for saying that. Anyway, in Groton, so she discovered, she went out for a walk. She said, well, I'm going to go walk the dog. And I said, well, that's great. This is one of the benefits of this game. You know, the game is not all that great, but you know what? It's got my son interest. My son's relatively physically active. He's 7 years old. He likes going outside and playing stuff. But now he's like, oh, we could go walk the dog and look around for Pokemon. I'm like, yes. Yes, that's correct. We could. And so now there's incentive to go do things outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's good to get him out of the house. You get to walk with him, right. Bonding time with your son. Yeah.
And honestly, I don't get out and walk the dog as often as I should, like really walk the dog. And I mean, it's a ridiculous incentive, but I'm like, okay, it's something. I do have kind of this addictive personality type. It's something for me to collect. I don't care about it. But why not? If it gets me to take the dog for a walk more often and you know, gives my son and I something we can relate to, then great. You know, that's fine. So my wife came back after a couple of hours and she said there's a group of people camped out in front of a church up by the such and such monument or memorial or whatever. I'm like, okay, I don't know what that is, but whatever. So she said, well, there are three Pokestops that overlap. And so you can sit in one spot and be in range of all three of them. And then people put lures on each one of the three. And so it's just this cluster of rare Pokemon coming in almost nonstop because the lures are good for 30 minutes. And as soon as one drops, another player puts one up. And they're just like hanging out there and chit-chatting and talking and stuff. And I'm like, okay. All right. So yesterday during the day, we had the day off and we were driving around and we drove past this spot. And it's like this little, it's not even a 2-lane road. It's like a 1.5-lane road at this intersection where there's like houses. It looks like nobody's driven on these roads for about 20 years. And now you can't get down the road. The church is at an intersection. Like, you can't get around. You can't turn right or left. A FedEx truck was trying to figure out how to get by. It was insane. And this was at 2:30 in the afternoon on a weekday.
Wow.
On a Wednesday. I'm like, oh my gosh. And there were people literally camped out. Like, had, like, those, remember those chairs that you and I had for The Force Awakens?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like the lawn chairs or the beach chairs or whatever. Just, like, sitting, chilling there. You know, one guy had a little speaker listening to some music quietly. Like that. And I'm like, wow.
That's so hysterical. It really is.
So last night at about we had some family members over and I thought, well, OK, I'm going to run out and try this. So I got in the car and drove past. Now it's 11 o'clock at night. I'm thinking there's going to be like one or two people there. Not a big deal, but I'll just sit in my car and collect Pokemon. Well, first of all, I couldn't sit in my car and do it because I couldn't get my car parked anywhere near this place. So I parked down the street and walked up and I sat on the sidewalk by the curb. And there were probably 25 people there, including a couple of parents with their like maybe 10 to 12 year old kids. 11 o'clock at night on a Wednesday. At about 11:45, and I had a spare phone. So, well, like an iPod Touch, which I use the hotspot for my phone. So I've got like a phone in each hand and I'm like, you know, throwing balls everywhere and stuff like that. And it was crazy. So, but I mean, it worked in all kinds of rare Pokemon and stuff. And people, I wasn't being social. I was more kind of just kind of watching and observing because I knew I was going to record tonight. And I thought, okay, I'm going to see what this is all about. People are actually like strangers who live there in the neighborhood who have never seen each other before. Are sitting there talking to one another and making friends and oh yeah, I down the street there's a such and such, you know, if you might be able to still get him, and someone will go down the street and come, oh yeah, man, I got him. He was like 412 hit points and blah, blah, blah. So at one point, It got a little louder than it probably should have. And I'm guessing someone called the police. The police did show up. But apparently they've driven by every night just to kind of check and make sure everything's cool. And then they drive off. Well, this night they said, listen, you guys can't actually be on the property for the church. You have to move down to the sidewalk. And they're all like, oh, okay. Yeah, nope. That's not a problem at all. So they moved down to the sidewalk and the police just kind of stood around watching. And after about 10 or 15 minutes, they start getting loud. And the cops are like, okay, see, guys, this is the problem. The noise is the problem. You guys got to keep it down. And so they did. They all immediately got quiet. And the police were still there when I left at about midnight. But most of the people were migrating out about 10 minutes to midnight. And a whole new group of people were coming in. And part of me, like, I'm wondering what the people in these houses are thinking. It's like, man, I probably can't even get in and out of my driveway anymore. There's people everywhere all the time. But on the flip side of it, this is not like a high-end neighborhood or anything. And here's what it's doing. It's getting neighbors who have never met each other, meeting each other and socializing about something they have in common, much like what we talk about with Star Wars fandom. You know, people, you don't have everything else in common, but your passion for Star Wars brings you together and makes you kind of instant friends, at least to some extent. And number two, for all of the people who are now walking around the sidewalks in our much larger neighborhood at night, it's almost kind of like a crowdsourced neighborhood watch. It's no longer just the shady people walking around in the middle of the night. It's people who are out there with their phones and their cameras open who, if they needed to call 911, could do so immediately. They can snap a picture if there's an emergency. Yeah, there might be a little Pikachu in the corner, but I mean, you know, but seriously.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. It's getting people out and interacting.
Yeah. And even if it's in the middle of the night, it's like I've seen people walking around at night. And so I was driving by, again, knowing I was going to record. So I'm driving by them at midnight on a weekday, walking up and down the street. And I would say 2/3 of the single people or the groups of two people walking by, they had their phones up and they were playing Pokemon.
Very cool. You know, this would be interesting because this week, as I said, I'm going away. I'm going to Massachusetts. I'll be on UMass Amherst campus.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see what the atmosphere is like on a college campus.
Oh, my gosh.
Playing Pokemon.
Apparently, UConn is just, like, crazy.
Really?
Like, it's just, you just look around and there's just clusters of people just camped and you can tell exactly where the spots are.
Cool. Yeah. I'll definitely let you know what I find when I go up there this weekend, so.
That would be good. I'm very curious.
Yeah, I am too now.
So that's it. That's the show. You know, there's no lightning round. There's no what were they thinking. I think we've kind of incorporated.
I think
most
it was all
that.
Incorporated into one thing here. Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, we might as well. I've done a lot of the talking. If you want, go over the new releases and the box office results.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Let's see here. So box office for last weekend. Secret Life of Pets was number one with $104 million. That was, I think, the biggest opening for a the first movie in a franchise.
Right.
So that was pretty impressive. Did you get a chance to see anything this weekend, Eric? Did you see?
I did not.
Okay.
I plan to go see something this coming weekend.
Okay, well, Sharon and I went to see Secret Life of Pets, and I enjoyed it. It was a very, very good movie. It was fun.
Nice.
So, yeah, I definitely recommend that.
I'm pulling up our movie draft document here to see who got Secret Life of Pets.
I want to say it was Kyle.
I think it may have been. Let me see.
In fact, I know I got to go up and update that list so we can have that and talk about that. I haven't
Secret
done that yet.
Secret Life of Pets. Oh, it's okay. They're all out of order here. Secret Life of Pets. Kyle. Yep. Bid 35 on it. Good solid bid.
Yeah, definitely. For $104 million, he's done pretty well.
Yep.
So, number two on the list was Tarzan, the second week, bringing in another $21 million for a total of $81. Finding Dory is still going strong in its fourth week. It pulled in the $20 million for $423. So
nice.
It's definitely up there. Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates rounded out. Number four here at $16 million. And Purge Election Year made another $12 million, bringing it to $58 million.
So, you know, not a bad weekend for box office. It looks like the holiday weekend kind of holdover, the weekend after the 4th of July. Usually we're seeing one movie do killer and the rest of them all like, you know, under 10. But there was some good solid movies here with 20, 21, 16 million. Nice to see.
I'm a little surprised that Legend of Tarzan managed to make another 21 million. And yet on the flip side, that's like a 66% drop. So
right,
that's not that much compared to what it should be making. So I don't know. I don't know why I'm surprised by that, but that's a pretty big top five overall. I mean, obviously driven by Secret Life of Pets. And I think that it's probably, I don't know. I don't know that it's going to be number one this weekend, but I mean, it's still going to have another solid weekend, I think.
Yeah, you know, I would tend to think it's gonna still. I mean, I think it's be tight for number one. I mean, this week in theaters we have The Infiltrator, and we have Ghostbusters. Our two big releases coming out. Ghostbusters, of course, is the all female cast. Been a lot of news about that lately. The trailer I saw for this movie, now the second trailer, I guess, was a lot better than the first trailer.
Yes,
it feels more like Ghostbusters felt. To me, I mean, I was kind of worried at the first trailer because it didn't have the same kind of comedy beat that the first movie had, and I could care less about female cast versus male cast, but the comedy just didn't seem as sophisticated.
No, it felt flat.
If that's the right word.
Mm-hmm.
And the second trailer made it feel more like the original movie did. So I'm like, okay, maybe it'll be better than I think it's going to be. So. Yeah. We'll have to wait and see, but might take the top spot, I think, this week if Secret Life of Pets doesn't continue to hold on. I mean, it did really well. It's getting good reviews. It's had good word of mouth, so I think it'll be a tough fight.
Yeah, Ghostbusters has got 75% on Rotten Tomatoes. I mean, three out of every four critics have given it a positive review. I think at this point, I think that's a solid enough Rotten Tomatoes score, which whether you like going by things this way or not, and I understand if you don't, the reality is there are a lot of people who look at that as kind of a litmus test as to whether or not they are likely to enjoy a movie, or whether a movie is bombed, is incredible, or just falls somewhere in between. 75% for a remake and a comedy is pretty solid.
I think so.
A lot of people are probably, who may be on the fence, are now more likely to see it, even if to just satisfy their curiosity.
Okay, no, wait. Do you own this in the Movie Draft?
I do not.
Okay, I thought you were talking up. See, yeah, go see it.
My big tentpole. I lucked out, if you will, and got Suicide Squad, though that's about all I managed to get. Ghostbusters, let me see who's got Ghostbusters. It would be Mike at 21. Okay. And I think he got a deal on it. I seriously think Ghostbusters is going to do really well.
Well, I think the word of mouth in the second trailer have helped out a lot with that movie, because it was looking pretty shady before then. I mean, people were really kind of saying, I don't know.
Yeah.
But, well, time will tell. We'll see what this weekend holds. The Infiltrator is actually one I'm looking forward to seeing that has, what's his name from Breaking Bad as a undercover DEA guy, I guess, getting into the cartel, and it looks really, really good.
It does look really good. I don't think it'll do well.
Bryan Cranston is the guy, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at Ghostbusters, Secret Life of Pets, Finding Dory, and The Infiltrator hasn't had a lot of press.
So. I was going to say, there's been almost no marketing on it at all. I've seen one trailer for it, and that's it.
Yeah, I think it's going to open in fourth place. Maybe third if it's lucky. I don't think it's going to be that lucky.
Okay. Well, also on DVD this week, we have Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice coming out. The Boss is coming out. Next week, we're going to see Barbershop The Next Cut. Oh, I finally get to see Hardcore Henry.
Yes.
Awesome. I am looking forward to seeing
it. It's available on iTunes right now.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
That's probably the way to buy it. I think that's probably the one I should do.
Including the extras.
Cool. Yeah. Cool. And Criminal is out, too.
Yeah.
That's the Kevin Costner movie, is it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that looks really good. The trailers look really good. So,
yeah. And I'm telling
that's all
you,
I got.
Again, Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice. I know it didn't do great in the theaters, but I'm telling you, the extended cut definitely improves the film. So,
yeah, I've got to pick that up. I mean, I like the movie enough in the theater that, you know, I will buy it anyways. And if the extended cut adds more to it, that's a bonus to me. So,
yeah.
Okay, well, I think that's all we got for this week. So if anybody has any questions for us or want to give some feedback on the episode or just your thoughts on Pokemon, if you know any good spots or tips, you can certainly give those to us. You can reach us by email. You can find us outerrim@randomchatter.com. You can also find us online. You can get to us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/randomchatternetwork or on Twitter. Hit us up over there. Outer Rim Podcast is the Twitter handle for the podcast. Random Chatter is the Twitter handle for the network itself. You can find me on Twitter, by name, Lou Secchi, LouSecki. Eric, where can they find you?
You can find me at Eric Blythe. It's ErikBlythe. And Chris, who's probably off playing Pokemon Go somewhere right now, you can find him at The Curse of Chris. And you can find all of our shows on the Random Chatter Network over at randomchatter.com. And by the time this is posted, head over there and click on the link for the movie draft. And there will be instructions there on how to participate. And go ahead and get your entries in as soon as possible. I know that the summer movie draft has already started, but I think that regardless of how the movies have turned out so far, I think that it's still there's still a little bit of a guessing game as to whether to include any of them as sure bets or to gamble that the things that are to come would be better options. Regardless,
it'll still be fun. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we're still early enough that it's definitely worth participating. So head over to randomchatter.com, click on the link for the movie draft, go ahead and get your submissions in. And don't forget, all the Patreon donors, they are going to be in a different bracket with a different prize. So, yeah, but head over there also to listen to the shows. That's kind of what we do. Any of the Random Chatter Network shows you can find there. We mentioned Ghostbusters, and Retro Convo just released an episode on the 1984 Ghostbusters release.
So yeah, I can't wait to listen to that. That's
yeah,
fun.
Absolutely. You definitely got to check that one out. So, you can find all the shows over there. And spread the word about us, too. You know, you can get the entire network. You can subscribe to it on iTunes. You can get it through Stitcher. And if you do, leave some reviews there. Let other people know what you think of the network. Tell your friends about us. You know, anything to do to get the word out there and to build the community. Keep in mind that a percentage of the community writes in and gives us feedback. And a percentage of the community will interact with us on Twitter and things like that. But we actually, we kind of mold our show based on the feedback that we get. We communicate with the community based on the communication we get. So anything that grows the larger community is also going to grow the show and therefore, hopefully, your enjoyment of it. So you're actually investing in your own entertainment and your own enjoyment of the network by helping spread the word.
So that's a very good point.
Please take that into consideration.
And of course, we'd also like to invite you to listen to us live. We do recordings on Tuesdays and Thursdays, Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. It's a fun way you can interact with us in the chat room. They chat room keeps us on track sometimes, too. They give us things that we didn't think of or things we may have glossed over. They keep us on the straight and narrow. You can find that at randomchatter.com/live. You can also find it on Ustream by searching for the Random Chatter Network.
And we want to give a quick shout out to the people who have donated to us on Patreon and helped support us. We really appreciate it. And if you want some more information on that, head over to patreon.com/randomchatter. It's a great way to help keep the shows ad free for now and help support the network, but also in a way that's going to help us give something back to you, whether it be bonus content, inviting you into our Slack community so you can hang out with us all week long and talk about different stuff. And to watch the Francis videos, that's how we found those, by our listeners who are there in the Slack channel posting stuff. And, somehow that's how we get stuff for the shows, too. So head over there for more information. And a special shout-out to Joel Welch, who is over in the UK right now, attending Star Wars Celebration London.
Lucky dog.
Yes. He is our field correspondent. He is hopefully enjoying himself immensely. Actually, right now, hopefully he's sleeping.
Hopefully he's sleeping, yes. Yeah.
Joel, a quick shout out. I just wanted to thank you for all the help and the coverage that I know that you're going to be bringing us while you're there. I don't say that to stress you out because I know you won't actually listen to this until after you get back. So there you go. I'm thanking you retroactively in advance.
Yes, definitely. Thank you very much, Joel. It's been great having you with us here, and I can't wait to hear all your exploits of being over there in London.
Yes.
But until next week, I guess we're done. So take care, everybody.
See you later.
The Force will be with you always.